Good evening. The subject tonight is love, or if you want, but what about the heart? Some teaching and some practices about what is referred to as the four divine abidings, divine abodes, or the palaces of the divine. Four states of mind that are also being referred to as the qualities of the heart. First one is metta, friendship, deep friendship, loving kindness. Second one, karuna, compassion. Shelley talked about it to the depth the other day. Third one, joy. Sympathetic joy or appreciative joy. And the fourth one, it's quite a surprise, equanimity, deep balance. And why is it a surprise? And what actually are these qualities of heart? And I would like to speak about love more. This is the thread that runs through the whole, all of the four, and also others that are not mentioned as such in the ancient texts. Others like giving, you know, the quality we have to offer, to give, dana, or acceptance, not to mention radical acceptance, self-acceptance. Here I said it. We're still here. Self-love, self-compassion, you know, all these yummy words. Christopher is not here. Yeah. So let's have a look at these things together. And then practice. Let's see how much time we have. And this is the first step towards self-love. Hot chocolate. You might say that there are two models. One of the models that is quite prevailing in what is called the Theravada. Theravada practices and teachings, the teachings, the knowledge of the old, Theravada, Southeast Asia, and the attitude towards the qualities of the heart is that they are in us, sometimes even dormant as potentials, and we can cultivate them. You understand what I'm saying? Like, imagine seeds. I was talking about it the other day with one of the groups. The term in Pali or in Sanskrit is alaya vijnana or jnana, the huge warehouse of seeds. And we have just about every seed possible there. And the ones that we will water and give our love and attention to, these ones will thrive and grow in our being, in our heart, in our lives. And of course, what is growing in our heart is also growing in our lives. It's not two separate things, huh? Life and heart. And it's also interesting look because none of the other seeds are bad. They're not weeds. They're not seeds that we want to completely, I don't know, burn them down, never to be returned. In every plant on earth, there is a possibility to be either poison or healing. Even the most poisonous plants, on the right dosage, they provide us with healing. Quite interesting to notice. So the look, I'm elaborating, this is not the Theravada view, yeah. The view, the simple view is, please water what you want for it to grow in your heart and your life, and uproot those that you do not wish to have in your life, which is very practical, pragmatic, right to the point. Yes, of course. I want love, I will water love. I want friendship, I will water friendship. Compassion, alike. I don't want hatred in my life. I don't want anger in my life, animosity, aversion. Okay, I will uproot. If it was only that easy, we would all done that long time ago, right? But it's not that easy because it mixes together. And maybe it's not that easy because the view on it is quite dualistic. And actually, when we take a different view, i.e. instead of looking at the qualities we have in ourselves as some of them good, some of them bad, like the bad seeds, and try to fight them, we can actually look again, respect, respecere in Latin, look again, to respect, to see what is the medicine that we can take, even from the what is usually referred to as the bad qualities in us, the ones that we do not wish to see, let alone admit, or we do not wish to be seen with them. No, I'm not that type of person, no. I'm actually very loving, very soft, but somebody saw me the other day yelling at my kids, and wow, what might she think of me? And I have to work hard in order to fight this anger in me. And as we all know, fighting leads to more fighting. An eye for an eye, says Gandhi many years ago, an eye for an eye and the whole world will go blind. And it's just the same in our inner experience when we try to fight something. Yeah. Not a good idea. What you resist persists. But not just that, it carries a medicine for us. It has something very precious. Even if it doesn't seem to be like that from first glance. Look again. So one avenue, the traditional one, we say you can cultivate these qualities. And it's a beautiful thing to do with one's life. When Robert was giving his talk, I was and asked the question, wow, about the dream. Yeah. What would you say if you have just this time and really important message to give? And I was, wow, I was really taken with this question. And the response came quite immediate for me. This would be the topic I would speak about. Really. But really, it's so, so important, I find, and freeing. So I'm glad I have the chance. One avenue would say, yes, let's cultivate. And how do we cultivate? There are quite a few practices in which we can do that, and I will speak about that a bit later. Another point of view, another avenue, comes from the Mahayana tradition. We see all around us the Tibetan Baroque. It's beautiful, if you like this taste. Very colorful, very inspiring. And it's a part of what is called the Mahayana, Tibetan Buddhism, Zen, and more. This is tradition that developed many years after the Buddha left his body. And it changed some of the focuses of the Theravada, the teaching of the old, that focused mainly on self-liberation, liberation for oneself, and took it to something that is more communal. So they speak about bodhicitta, the aspiration to help all living sentient beings to be free. And the view on the Brahma Viharas, Sanskrit, again, the four divine abodes or the four immeasurables, the ones that we cannot measure because they're so vast and huge and are boundless. The view on that is actually a bit different. And it's more a view that says, these qualities are already in each and every person to the perfection. All we need to do is move away the blocks, the blockages, the things that obscure our view, that obscures our heart from living it to its full capacity, that is already there. And a lot about the practice is actually to realize that, and having that view move. I'm making this movement with my hands. It's like clouds that are obscuring the sun. So we look up, we see, oh, dark sky today. Really, midday and very dark. A lot of rain. You cannot see the sun. But actually, with our intelligence, with our wisdom, we know that the sun is far greater than any cloud possible on this tiny little globe. But it seems to be, to our eyes, it seems to be because of the perspective we have. We look from down, up. It seems to be that the clouds manage to obscure the sun, and we do not see the sun, and we believe, or we might believe, maybe it's not there. We buy into what we see. Actually, the truth is, that's the Mahayanist truth, that there's Buddha nature in all of us, and it's there waiting to be fully shining fully, to shine fully. Why is it called the four immeasurables? These are states of mind that sometimes carry emotions with them. Usually we have the habit to acquaint love and the emotion, a sweet emotion, a warm emotion that comes with love. But the view on it is that it's a state of mind. Our mind is filled to the brim, except it doesn't have a brim. It's never ending, all pervading. Like really being suffused with this quality. And here too, we have practices that go towards the liberation of these qualities in us. So there was, I think, Korean Zen master from the 14th century, I heard. His name was Chinul, and he had this one liner saying, gradual cultivation, sudden awakening. Gradual cultivation, sudden awakening. When we cultivate, when we work on our garden, the garden that is our hearts, we very patiently, with wisdom, with know-how, work on the garden. At one point, sometime, one tree may give fruit. When it will happen, not in our hands. Will the fruit be edible or not? We don't know. This is in the hand of something else, not ourselves. But still, we can be the gardener. And we can be the garden and make ourselves available. And this is a great thing to do with one's life, to make ourselves available, available to the love, allow it to grow, to suffuse our heart and body and mind, and let the quality do the living for us. It is not about us. We are not the ones who are getting enlightened. I had a teacher from Bombay, he's no longer alive, dear Ramesh, his name, and he said, if you on the quest after enlightenment, you're going to be very disappointed. There's nothing in it for you. Okay. Still I want it. Wow, it looks so cool to be full with all these good qualities, good fruits, good, but the self just want to grab this too. Not possible. No possible, madam. Doesn't go together, hand in hand. Self and something that is much, much, much bigger and has this movement of expansion. And just by the same token, I'm happily talking about self-love, self-compassion, self-liberation. It is a liberation from the self. When compassion is there, this quality doesn't care if it's about you or me. When it's love, when love is there, it's really the caring for some living being. And maybe I'm this living being right now, because this living being really needs the care. Why not? Why jail it? The whole world can receive my love and care and attention, and just this person, no? Why? Amongst other living beings, we as ourselves also deserve. And actually, paraphrasing this Indian chief, we are the ones we've been waiting for. But we have a beautiful capacity as human beings to incline our minds. That means to bend our minds to, as if, you know, move our minds towards that which is beneficial, towards that which is wholesome, towards that which is beautiful. And sometimes it takes a good deal of right discernment, even to notice, hang on a minute, I've got so much negativity going on in me, anxiety, fear, fault finding, blaming oneself, others, same thing. This might carry a lot of value for me, but simply speaking, it is not conducive to the inner weather. It is not conducive to the opening of the heart. It is actually the opposite. It is maybe the clouds that obscure the sun. We do not hate the clouds for obscuring the sun. And maybe at some point, these clouds actually helped us. Maybe negativity is a form of self-protection that once was very needed, actually. So it's not an invitation to fight anything. Again, I'm reminding us that. It's not about feeling bad that we have these movements inside, but it is about the right discernment. Ah, now I see it's a little bit of a poison ivy inside of me. Ouch. What to do? To do the opposite. Incline the mind, you understand this word, incline? Move, lean over to the opposite. And, you know, it's so interesting because oftentimes when we sit with the mindfulness practices, and many times the encouragement for the practice is just let it be. Let it be, just observe, just be with it. I'm not sure you heard it from us here, but that's a very common view. It's not a good idea to do it when you're haunted by poison ivies. Not a good idea just to sit back and observe what is going on. Usually, it will take you down the drains with it. And it's actually in one of the teachings of the Buddha that he gives quite a few, I think 8 different ways of working with negativity, working with negative thoughts and emotions. And by inclining the mind, I mean the ability we have, the freedom we have as humans to utterly change our garden from one who consists of poison ivies to one who is full of persimmons and roses and mangoes and bananas. What else?
Avocado.
Avocado. Yeah, I miss my trees at home. All these. And many more. And it's much more fun to live around a garden that has these delicious fruits inside. And it's not just us who can enjoy it. It's, of course, the others as well. How do we do that? Very interestingly, someone sent me some time ago an article that speaks about, you know, these habit patterns of fight, flight, freeze, right? Like it's very common, knowledge that's like the habit patterns we have in times of stress. Actually, they found another F, and it's not what you think. Fraternity. Fraternity. You know what it means, this word? No. Brotherhood, sisterhood. It's really interesting. It's an interesting motivation. When compassion is being activated in the brain, scientists found that there are areas of what they call positive emotions are being flooded and oxytocin is being released, literally, when compassion is alive in us. So it's not just a nice thing to do. It really changes our hormone levels, our biochemical level in the body. And fraternity, the fourth option, it's also there, and it's also possible for us. We can work with our imagination. This is one way to incline the mind. We can use our imagination, really, to take ourselves out of the swarm, so to speak. It can be either in meditation, or let's say we're in the supermarket, and someone in line just ahead of us, she is very, very slow. And we can feel the tension building up in us. And the aversion and the negativity and the thoughts are flooding our mind. What would be the thought, for example? What can be the thought?
Hurry up.
Hurry up, will you? That's a very polite English. Okay.
German is very efficient. That doesn't happen here.
It doesn't happen in Germany. Ah, I doubt it. So maybe it was Israeli that stood in line. Come on. What's the matter with you? What's that?
Yeah, hurry up, get out of the way.
Get out of my way. Or what's the matter with her? Why is she so slow? Or whatever, you know, we're not really asking the questions. It's not really a question. It's like, we have something to say. She's very slow and something is the matter with her. And we know what it is. So we have an opinion. When we catch that in the supermarket, on the spot, use your imagination. Meaning, imagine, really ask the question, why is she like that? What happened to her that made her be so slow now? Use your wild imagination.
She went to meditation retreat.
She just came out. Or
she got a sore back.
She got a sore back. Yeah, thank you. Or maybe she doesn't understand the language. Maybe she's just out of the hospital. Or maybe she's just dreaming because she just met the love of her life. Or she wants to. And she's sort of in the state. And what happens with these kind of imaginations? They open up the view for us. And instead of being stuck in, this is what is happening, I know her, I know the situation, let me tell you, this is the truth. She is just good for nothing. Yeah, because she's so slow. Ah, some other options, other possibilities being opened up in our hearts and minds. And this is so cool, to have more options, more possibilities, not to be stuck just on one thing. Imagination really helps in many different various ways. We can imagine, for example, when we are in difficult times, we can use the power of imagination and imagine a benefactor, someone that we know or don't know, either from our lives in the past or maybe some figure that we really, really appreciate. Maybe the Buddha, maybe someone else, really caring for us, having the eyes of the other person looking at us the way they would if they would have seen us in this situation right now. Sometimes it's too difficult for us. We cannot do this for ourselves. We need the power of imagination to help us step into this quality of being held and embraced with grace, with care. Sometimes we can use the power of imagination when we do not feel anything in particular. And we sit in meditation and nothing really comes up. We can breathe into our hearts and imagine our heart center as a big, huge, warm sun that radiates its rays inside us, really touching each and every cell and pouring out, pouring out, pouring out to touch the other. Some kind of practices that are more in the Theravada tradition use words and phrases and wishes. May I be happy. May I be well. May I live with ease. May I be free from pain. May I be compassionate to myself. May I love and accept myself just as I am. These can be very powerful practices, and some people use them in long retreats or over a course of years. And also, when used properly, they can very much enhance our samadhi. They are used also as samadhi practices. The repetition of a word or a sentence or a few sentences really calms and focuses and gathers the mind. But it's also with the intention. And oftentimes people would say, but I don't feel anything. I don't feel anything. I say the words or I have the image, but I don't feel it. Don't worry about it too much, really. It's not so much about the feeling. It's the intention and the state of mind that we are cultivating here. Or, as the Tibetan would say, fake it until you make it. It's also okay. So there's so much more to say about this, but I want us to go into practice, hands-on, with these kind of practices. So please make yourself super comfortable. Sitting down, lying down, sitting up, lying down, standing, whatever. Whatever you feel like. And we will practice here now metta, loving kindness or deep friendship, a state of mind that is very simple and wishing well. And I'd like to offer again the use of the imagination here. With or without a word or a sentence or sentences. So check for your experience what is best for you right now. It might be different in other times that you will practice. But you might want to start with some words or have them in the background. Maybe someone can switch some of the lights off. You'll be more comfortable if you wish. It's possible. Thank you. Okay. So we can start off just reminding of some of the sentences and then imagination. Very simply breathing into the heart area. Allowing the heart to breathe. Chinese writing, the symbol for love is someone breathing in a heart, breathing through the heart. So breathing through the heart, with the heart. May I be happy. May I live with ease. May I be free from pain. Very gently touching and retouching this possibility of well-wishing to oneself. May I learn to love and accept myself just as I am. And of course, if you have someone in mind that you wish for him, for her, these same wishes, please feel free to direct your attention to them. Maybe someone you know that is in need. Maybe someone from here. Or maybe someone that was or is dear to you, it helped you in your life. And you would like for them to simply be happy. And with that, using the power of imagination, and feel your heart as this big fireplace that warms everything and everyone. That are getting near. And spreading this warmth in the body. And allowing it to ooze out even. This nice, warm quality. And feel the space around you. Making this space larger and larger, bigger and bigger. With every breath, breathing in, we are making the fire strong with oxygen, air. Breathing out, we are sending our warmth and care and attention. Breathing in the fire in our hearts is growing more and more warm. Breathing out, it is warming everyone around us. And you can send your words or sentences or just the felt sense of warmth to yourselves and to others equally. And when you wish well upon someone, you are the first to enjoy this quality of metta, maitrei in Sanskrit, deep friendship. Simply well-wishing. May you be happy. May you be safe. You be free from pain. The quality of metta is much stronger than any fear. It knows how to melt down all fears. It's the same quality that made the newborn baby, one of two twins, to put her arm around her brother. It was born smaller, and by that, help him into life. This quality is there for babies as well, and certainly it is there for us, if we let it. So our job is quite simple. Please let it. With every breath, we are allowing the care in our heart to spread more and more. May you be happy. May you be safe and free from harm. May you live with ease. May you be truly liberated. Or may you learn to love and accept yourself just as you are. We keep inclining our minds even if the emotional level is different than what we expect, even if there's a lot of poison ivy inside, doesn't matter. The power we have, the freedom we have as human beings is exactly that. To do it anyway and to change everything by that. And I mean everything. When our heart is changed, our world is changed. And in the words of the Buddha, his suggestion, simply send this energy everywhere, all around you, in all directions, to all living beings and things. Exactly like this great big sun that offers itself for us all. May it be so.